This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The town of Ralston, Vermont is known to many as the Green Island, and its history is equally well-worn territory. A pair of brothers feuding over logging and textile fortunes led to the digging of the canal, which now separates the island from Burlington. Champlain College professor Eric Eskelson and his students are the historians of note when it comes to Ralston, and a new exhibit at the Champlain College Art Gallery has recently gone up, displaying pieces of the town's history and culture, and encouraging visitors to walk through the exhibit and create their own sense of the town, its people, and its story. Joining us now to share more about Ralston is Eric Eskelson. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jane. I come in peace.
Excellent.
And representing Ralstonians.
I should probably mention that Ralston is a fake town. You made it up.
Well, yes.
All right. So tell us a little bit about what kind of place it is, who lives there, its people.
Sure. Well, Ralston's story begins a few years ago. I had a one-semester sabbatical from Champlain College, and I had written and published some fiction in the past, and I was thinking of getting back to writing some fiction, but I didn't really have a good story in mind. I had the vaguest stirrings of a story. But over the sabbatical, I thought I'd start writing some fiction, and I also wanted to hone some digital media tools. I wanted to get back to working with Adobe Illustrator, Photoshop, things like that. So I thought, well, those tools are great for making things such as maps. Maybe I'll start creating the setting first and see what comes out of that. So I started creating maps and other artifacts for this fictional city. I named it Ralston after the coffee that I happened to be drinking a lot of at the time and still do. And in November of that fall in 2014, I had a chance to present my work to date at a Pechakucha presentation at the Shelburne Museum. And so I talked a little bit about storytelling as world building, which was an area of interest of mine. And the response was pretty good. People seemed interested in this this idea of storytelling as world building. And in this fictional place, Ralston, I showed a map of Ralston lingering just off the coast of Burlington, and that drew some chuckles. And so I moved forward with the project, thinking that this would grow into a cycle of fictions. I published a short story about a year later in 7 days, and I started working on a novel that in fact emerged from this place. So fast forward to about a year ago, having shown bits and pieces of Ralston to some students and having created a learning environment out of Ralston, which we can talk a little bit about if you like, Chris Thompson, who's now the executive director of the Generator Space, who was at the time the curator in residence at Champlain College, approached me and said, you know, this place that you've been creating, maybe we could do something with that in the gallery, and which is, I guess, the opposite direction that people typically take fictions these days. You know, it's pretty common to create digital virtual environments for fictions. But I thought, well, this sounds kind of fun. What could we do with this place in a real environment? So,
and in fact, there are artifacts and
right.
Visual representations that are not just made by you of Ralston, Vermont.
That's right. When we decided to create an installation out of this, I realized I could use some of the assets that I've created, such as the maps. And at that point, I had a pretty fully developed narrative to kind of constrain our choices. But I saw that to pull this off would require a lot of other labor and a lot of other artistry. Well, Chris Thompson eventually went to Generator, and Dana Heffern became the curator of the gallery, and she was interested in the project. She's an experienced scenic designer, so she had lots of ideas about how to create a space. We were working with a graduate student by the name of Jane Adams, who's very skilled in digital media, and she's a great storyteller and a gifted artist. So the three of us put our heads together and figured out how to fill a gallery as though it were a local history museum. So I hired some graphic design students to create logos and things like that. Jane and I both went to work on creating some of the assets that we could use in the gallery, including a timeline, which is something Jane took on. She also created this bulletin board covered with flyers that had, in her narrative, had been taken from a popular community spot that had been demolished to make room for something else. So she had rescued this bulletin board as kind of a snapshot in time, and that's in the gallery as well.
What I love about this is it's a rethinking of the idea of virtual reality. You know, we're so much into our digital spaces these days. Mm-hmm. And so this is a fictionalized world, but it's brought into the real world in a different way. You know, you don't need the virtual reality mm-hmm. goggles, but you're sort of entering it and creating it and morphing it as you go in a more analog way than perhaps we've become accustomed to now.
That's true. And it is in a way that we've become less accustomed to, but it does happen. I mean, local history museums are all over the place. And when you really think about it, I mean, the way that we make sense of, the way that we make meaning in those spaces is something that the creators of digital spaces have picked up on. There's some great writing from the media scholar Henry Jenkins on this, the subject of spatial storytelling. And spatial narratives are kind of in ascendancy. It's something that a lot of people are really studying. So how do we create a story in our minds when we're moving through space, when it's not presented as a linear sequence of events? That is a very interesting concept to me, and I've felt it when I've walked through the Winooski Historical Museum and the Mill. I feel it every time I walk through local history museums, and I also feel it when I'm moving through an open world exploration in some digital virtual space. So one of the ways to make that happen is to pay attention to what kinds of artifacts you're embedding in this space and what kind of work they do for this overarching narrative. You know, every place that's ever installed at a local history museum has, you know, they have a story they're trying to tell. And it's not always a very simple story, but it's there. You feel it when you move through it.
It's also interesting because, of course, every history is tinged with the viewpoints of the people who have written it. And in this case, you know, you're also on trend because it's sort of open source. Ralston is created right. Not just by you, but by your students. It is a teaching tool. It is a way to access different parts of your curriculum. And so it's this living, breathing thing in the way real towns are, but in a perhaps a way that turns that on its head a little bit in working with your students.
That's right. My students in a course called The Rhetoric of Community have a lot of fun working within the guidelines that we've set down through the narrative and also the artifacts that are already being created to figure out what other kinds of things would belong in that place. We have a lot of fun asking ourselves, so what would be appealing to the people of this fictional city and why? And why not? Who would oppose it? Mm-hmm. And who would be in favor of it? And so on. And they, you know, it creates this interesting kind of play space where we also learn about civic engagement and how things get done, how things get made and implemented in a community.
Imagine that, things getting done in a community. Eric Eskelson is the creator of the fictional Vermont town of Ralston. You can learn more about Ralston and help create its history and culture yourself by visiting the exhibition at the Champlain College Art Gallery. Thank you so much for bringing us into this world.
Thanks for having me, Jane.